You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with a nod to the calendar, the fiscal calendar to be specific, because we are, in 45 states of this union, a week into fiscal year 2021, a fiscal year in which those states and all of their residents are going to have to deal with reduced revenues, shaky budgets, and a whole lot of uncertainty. Marketplace's Eric Barris checks in on how some of those states are doing.
What a difference 6 months make. Urban Institute fellow Kim Rubin says when the calendar year started, states were feeling optimistic.
Predicting more money coming in than they were forecasting and more money possibly than the year before. And then March happened and the bottom dropped out.
People stayed home and spent less. There went sales tax. Millions of people lost their jobs. There went a whole bunch of income tax. Meanwhile, Rubin says states had to spend more on swelling Medicaid rolls and soaring unemployment claims, all while beefing up their health response. Kind of like a typical recession, but
that is just much more dramatic right now because of the suddenness in how we close the economy and the fact that this is all being driven by this public health issue.
States got some help from the federal government and some dipped into their rainy day funds. They also got some help from the expanded unemployment benefits and relief checks. Catherine White with the National Association of State Budget Officers says those
have helped temporarily prop up the economy and therefore state tax revenues, but that those are going to run out.
The Tax Policy Center estimates that states ended last fiscal year with $75 billion in shortfalls and face an additional $125 billion in this one. And there's a lot of uncertainty playing into that number, says UC San Diego economics professor Jeffrey Clemens. Businesses may open or stay closed, and COVID cases keep rising. State budget officials don't have a full picture of what they're working with. Going forward, Clemens says states can either raise taxes
or they can find ways to, you know, to scrimp and save, to cut expenditures.
Some states are already doing that. Washington is furloughing workers, and Ohio is planning cuts to K-12 education. And then there's borrowing. Adam Levin is with the state fiscal health team at the Pew Charitable Trusts.
Given the magnitude of the problems that they're facing, they're going to, again, have to consider all the options that are on the table.
He says the Federal Reserve has set up a new borrowing program for states. But so far, only Illinois has tapped it. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Big companies are big companies. They've got lots of operating units, divisions of different kinds and sizes, lots of competing management interests to reconcile. And that gets us to the corporate story of this Wednesday. Even as coronavirus is surging in Florida, Disney World is set to open up in Orlando. It is not, to be clear, going to be the Disney World of the before times. No parades, no indoor shows, no hugging Mickey and Minnie. But as Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports, Disney does have some cause to be pushing its parks right now.
Disney's brightest spot this year was supposed to be its live-action remake of Mulan.
Loyal, brave, and true. It is my duty to protect my family.
But with movie theaters closed, a little musical called Hamilton stole the show after the company moved up its release on its streaming platform, Disney Plus. And I am not throwing away my shot. But Disney can't only take a shot on streaming right now. Remember, Disney Plus is pretty new. A subscription is just $6.99 a month, and the company doesn't expect the platform to become profitable for a few years. So it needs to look elsewhere. Stephanie Liu is with Forrester.
So Disney has multiple businesses, and most of them are hurting right now.
There's the movie theater thing. Plus, there aren't many live sports playing on ESPN. Disney cruises are suspended, but parks?
They have some more control over the experience and what reopening means.
The company also has experience managing a reopening during COVID-19. Its resort in Shanghai started welcoming visitors again in early May. And Michael Smith, a professor of information technology at Carnegie Mellon, says the parks are about much more than thrilling rides.
Parks is a big piece in the puzzle, but I think it's also a key part of the overall Disney experience.
The parks are Disney's interactive PR tool, and they're key to sustaining the brand. Once people visit the Magic Kingdom, they may be more likely to subscribe to Disney Plus or buy a stuffed toy at the Disney store or someday see The Lion King on Broadway. And if not, the money the company makes off the parks is not too shabby. The price of standard admission these days, $109 a day. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.